today on Commitment to Truth.
But Jesus is going to come up next to you and he's going to pick you up. And he's going to say, because of me, you can stand blameless. Your sin has been washed away and you can have great joy. Enter into the joy of your master. That's why we need to contend. We have to be out there fighting.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Mike Jones, teaching pastor at Commitment Church, with today's message.
All right, so as you know, we've been in the book of Jude. I guess to start off, before we really dive into this, let's start off with our key verse that'll be found in Jude chapter 1, the only chapter, in verse 3. And here Jude says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And throughout the last month, we've been answering the question of how can we contend for the faith, and what does this contending look like? The definition here is to strive against opposition, to defend a belief, or to keep affirming that it's true. And so we as believers are required, and in the world today, obviously, like we have to defend our faith. We have to stand up for what we believe in. But I think to be more clear and more precise, what is the faith, right? There's lots of faiths out there. So what exactly is this referring to? And in Jude, verse 3, the faith is a strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. That is our faith. That is the only thing we need to be contending for as a church, that we need to be standing for. Anything that we're going to stand up for, that we're going to fight against, that we're going to advocate for, has to be hinged on the fact that we have a belief that Jesus is the Son of God, who came in form as a man, died, was buried, rose again, so that we could have eternal life with him. And that is the only way that we can have eternity with him one day. And today, I think when I think of defending, I think of it in like as if we're in a battle, right? We got to wear our armor of God, and we got to be out there, and we got to fight. But we got to hold the line. And what is the line? It's just Jesus. There's lots of other lines that I think we get distracted by as a church. And so I really like what Larry said last week, where he said, don't be surprised. And I find us reacting to different things here and there. And let's keep the main thing, church, and make sure that when we're contending for our faith, that we're telling others about Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Amen? All right. Just want to make sure that was clear. All right. So how do we contend for this faith? And the passage that we're going to go through, let's read starting in Jude verse 20, and we'll read from 20 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go back and break it down. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So how do we contend? Verse 21, the first part says to keep yourselves in the love of God. And if you're following along in your highlights, when I first made the outline, it was just keep loving was like the what I was working with. But I think more accurately and truer to the text, to understand it more clearly, it's keep yourselves in God's love. And so let's look at the definition of keep. Keep means to guard, preserve, or keep watch over, to cause one to keep in safety out of the power and assault of Satan. And yourselves isn't just yourself, you know, and just, okay, I'm gonna love God, and I'm gonna stay right here, and you're good over there, you love God, I love God, we have this understanding. No, it's reciprocal, it's mutual, it's one another and together. And so we as a body of Christ, and you'll hear this preached from up here, you'll hear it in any men's group, women's group, and youth group, and his kids, this is a family. And we gotta look out for one another. That's how we contend. First, it starts, we're a team. And we gotta really build one another up, support one another, admonish one another, correct each other, not in love, in a loving way that prepares us to represent Christ in the world properly. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes and talking about defending each other and standing up for each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. I think every time I've had a chance to preach, I think I've shoehorned this verse in there. But I love this passage, and I think it really, really gets the point here. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Together, guys, we need each other. There's no way that I would have been able to make it through my walk with Christ and receive the strength I need without brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter where you're at in your walk, you need people. Even you could know as much of the Bible as you want, right? And you know, there's like some verses I know and I'm in a tough time and I need some encouragement, but you get beat down and you get discouraged and you can question and you can justify behaviors and you need somebody who's gonna tell you what the Word of God says. And there are so many times where in conversations with brothers and you know, you're talking about whatever, you know, and they tell you where you're like, I know. You know, but you need that washing of the word, and we need to be doing that for each other. That's where it starts, so that we can be prepared to contend for the faith outside of these walls, right? And so we need to keep ourselves in God's love. And that's vitally important, that we understand what God's love is so that we know exactly what this contending looks like as we live that out. Let's take a look at what God's love is like in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A very common verse, Romans 5:8. But God commends, God gives, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we knew who he was, before we accepted him, when we were completely lost and completely opposed to him, knowingly or unknowingly, he died for us. The ultimate expression of love. And if God can send his son and his son can live his life out in a way where he sacrificed himself for us, for those of us who would eventually accept him and for those who would reject him, for everybody, that kind of love, then we got to live that kind of love out as well. So what does that love look like when we walk it out? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, it's commonly referred to in churches as the love chapter, because the whole chapter is themed that way. So let's start off. We're going to read just verses 1 through 8, but we'll start off in verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So these first three verses kind of tell us what love isn't. And I really like, especially the focus on the first verse, because it's if I speak with the tongues, and a lot of our contending, a lot of our evangelizing is in telling people about God's love. But I think we can express it in different ways, right? It sounds good to just say God's love, but I think sometimes it comes out a little funny. And so I like the example here that if you speak and don't have love, you become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I'd like to draw the correlation, right? Like the song I Believe in worship, I love that song. I mean, it's like, Pastor says that we've sang it before. I don't know why, I don't remember it, but you know, you hear a song a certain time, it just hits you a certain way, I guess. And we heard this song as a youth group when we were away for the Challenge Conference, and boy, it got me. And so it was really cool to come back this month, and here's that song again. And it, I mean, even this morning, like I knew it too. And I saw it coming. I was like, I'm not going to get emotional, but it just, you can't help it. You know, when God's talking to you, man, he uses that song for me to really speak to me, right? It's beautiful. And especially, you know, the worship team does such a great job. You got the instruments and the voices, and you just connect to that song. You feel it. Man, I believed, God, that you are who you say you are. It's so awesome. But if the worship team consisted of Leroy up here with a cymbal, just banging on the cymbal while we're doing the song, that song is not going to move me in any kind of way but out the door. I appreciate that. Right? It's not going to have the same effect. And so it's the same when we're communicating with others. We have to have that love, that gentleness, that spirit behind us. Because the words we're saying might be Bible verses, but if we're throwing them at people or whatever, if it's not done properly and carefully and respectfully, you know, the message just gets lost and we wind up putting off the very people that we're trying to reach. So what is love then? Verse 4, continuing on in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not, in some translations, is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's love. That's the love we have to be keeping ourselves in, the way we have to be loving each other, and how we have to love the world around us. I really want to memorize these, to be honest with you. I mean, I think this would be really good, like in my home. I mean, you know, we're required to love everybody in my home, at my job, and everybody I react with. I would love to start filtering the way I behave, the way I speak, the way I conduct myself through these verses. I think if I know if I did that, and if we did that, we'd have much healthier relationships and really have a stronger impact for the gospel that way. All right. So keep yourselves in the love of God. Next, verse 22. And have mercy on some who are doubting. In your highlights, it's show mercy, to the doubter. Mercy here is defined as pity, compassion, to show sympathy to the misery of another that manifests itself in action more than words. And the doubter, the one who doubts, it can be somebody who's, you know, questioning the faith, unsure of it, but the actual definition here is a bit more aggressive. It's to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, right? So, and through these verses, it gets a bit more, you know, the people you're dealing with, are, it gets a lot more adverse, a lot more opposed to the faith, right? And so how are we supposed to show this mercy, this compassion to people who are directly hostile now towards the gospel? Well, what example did Jesus give us? And you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 23, verse 34, we'll start in verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Whew, that's love right there. That's how, the kind of mercy that we're supposed to show. And I think it's interesting here, and it's so that we have a good perspective on the world around us is, you know, Jesus said they don't know what they're doing. You know, they weren't like, yeah, we know this is the Son of God who can save me from my sins, but never mind, you know, we're going to carry on murdering him, right? They were completely ignorant of what they were doing. They were blinded by their own sin. Their eyes hadn't been opened. They had no clue what was going on. And that's how we need to view everything around us. It's just, it's the scripture says that when in Jesus' ministry, when he was going around and all the crowds were coming to see him and he's healing everybody, that he had compassion on them. He had pity on them because they were lost and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They just aimlessly wandering with no one to guide them. Look with me, if you could, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. People just can't see. They don't know what they don't know. And I think it's a healthy posture for us to have is not to be so offended by everybody, but to have pity and compassion and sympathy for them because they just don't know any better. And so when we look at people this way and recognize that it's a spiritual battle, right? It's not us against them, but it's us against the enemy and him blinding people. Again, the definition of mercy is we have to contend. How can we contend then in this way? And it's through our words, partially, and also through our actions mainly. So we're gonna breeze through Proverbs real quick. How can we contend with our words? Proverbs 15, verse 1. I feel like I'm taking a page out of Pastor Ken's book and he's got you guys bouncing all over the place today. Proverbs 15, 1. I mean, yeah, it doesn't fall too far from the tree, does it? All right, Proverbs 15, 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 17, 27, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. just gently, you know, it's all good. I mean, a cool spirit, I really think of like, easy, man, take it easy. You know, like, it's like, just chill. You know, we're on the winning side, right? God's opened our eyes. We've been saved. We've been rescued. We've been redeemed. It's all good. And we just gotta love everybody. It's through that victory, we're living for the other side, you know, back and kind of getting ahead of myself, but you know, back in verse 21, it says, we wait anxiously for being reunited with Jesus Christ. That's the mercy of eternal life. We're gonna be with him one day. This world is not our home. Strangers and exiles, we don't belong here anymore once we get saved, right? It's just so small. You know, and we just need to be reminded of that. I'm talking to myself right now too, right? It's just, we'll just take a deep breath and we're just gonna love people the way Christ wants us to love them through our words and also through our actions. Proverbs, saying in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, this heaping burning coals on his head isn't like vindictiveness or anything like that, okay? What it's referring to is just a method of getting people to confess back in the day where they'd give them like this whole thing on their head, and they'd drop a hot coal in there, and it'd get hotter and hotter and hotter, and it's just a way to get people to finally confess to some sort of crime that they did or something. And the idea here being that if we continually love our enemies, that eventually those kind actions, those kind words, those good deeds are eventually gonna get them to be like, all right, you're right. There's something different about you, and I see the Lord. And it said that there's another part in the Bible where it says that your enemy will confess the Lord in heaven, right? They'll recognize that they were wrong and see Christ in you. Luke 6, verse 33-35. Luke 6, 33-35. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. That's the kind of action we have to have. It's difficult. It can be challenging. But when you're dealing with people who you feel are hostile to the gospel, and you feel like they're hostile towards you, you know, this is the way we show that we're different. You know, if we don't live our lives this way, that makes us just like everybody else. There is no difference. And how often? I mean, there's definitely been times. I mean, people are watching. You know, when you confess the name of the Lord in your workplace, in your family, in your relationships, and you slip up one time or you do something, you know, say something silly, whatever the case may be, you know, people can be, oh, some Christian. And I hate it. Not because they said it, but it's because, oh, they're right. They got me, right? And we have to be better than that though, right? We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And let's make sure that regardless of how our flesh feels, we understand what the Word of God says. And we're really showing kindness and love to all around us. Let's show mercy to the doubter. Back in Jude 1, verse 23. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. How can we contend for the faith? We can snatch others from the fire. So, and for those of you who are ready to get out there and fight for the faith, like this point's for you, right? Get out there and snatch people up. You know, let them know if they're close, there is a sense of urgency here too, right? We're supposed to love, be gentle, kind, patient, and showing the love of God, but let us be wise and discerning too and not delude ourselves so that we recognize sometimes people are on the edge. It is life and death, physically and eternally. There is a heaven and there is a hell. This is snatching others from the fire. I mean, there is a fiery judgment that awaits the world. And that's why we can have hope and joys, because we know we've been rescued from that, right? And so we got to be like firefighters. We got to be in there grabbing everybody we can. Snatch others from the fire. Save others here is preserve, recover, and restore. Save them from the punitive wrath of God at the judgment of the last day. And snatch is to rescue from the danger of destruction. Yeah, it's urgent, folks. So again, I tend to lean, you know yourself, right? And you know, just rely on the Lord to show you when that urgency is needed, when that direct conversation is needed. You know, I had a buddy of mine who, you know, he's doesn't really want to hear about the gospel, right? But he's a close friend. I'm not going to, like, you know, oh, okay, we can't be friends anymore. You know, so we're still close. And but I respect his wishes, right? But he had, like, out of nowhere, like, this near-death experience. He was in the hospital. It was crazy. He was, like, in a coma and all. And so thank God he recovered and, like, felt like God was like, all right, now's the time. Like, you never know, you know. And so that was, like, a way, like, when I went to snatch him, you know, I told him I loved him, which was uncomfortable enough for him. And because I love you, bro, like, you got to know this, dude. This is serious. This is life and death. And you were close and you need to know. And so wherever you're at in your life, people that you know, love them, be patient with them, but don't let that water you down either. Let's be bold and direct and confident in the word that the Lord gives us as well. Amen? So why do we contend? We have all these hows, you know, how to apply it. And I really pray that over the course of this month, you've been given some real useful tools on what it looks like to contend in a godly way. But why do we do it? Because eternity is at stake. Because we're waiting for Christ to return. And we got to want to bring as many people with us as we possibly can. And I love how this chapter ends too, because it reminds us that it's not even in our own power that we are able to do these things, right? Even when it comes to being face to face with the Lord. Let's look at verse 24 in Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Again, this is not, this contending, these ways to apply it, right? Like, it's not because we're so great, right? It's because we humble ourselves under the lordship of Jesus who's over us, right? And through his power and his Holy Spirit, we're able, it's only because of that that we're able to do this, because our flesh is weak. It's only through him that we can walk this out, right? So he is the one who keeps us from stumbling. And he's the one, at the second part of verse 24, to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. Right? And so, because trust me, when we first see Jesus face to face, I mean, we're, and God face to face, there's going to be joy, but it's only because we've been saved by Jesus Christ. Because if you look at people's reactions in the world, whether it was prophets who had visions or people who got glimpses of God's glory, the first thing they did was fell on their face in fear and recognition of their own sin and their own inadequacy, saying, I'm not worthy. Men of God, people in the hall of faith, when they were in front of God, they felt completely inadequate and totally unprepared and unworthy of this love that God has for us. But when we see him face to face, I like this, where he's going to make us stand, right? Because we're going to be on our face. Christian or unchristian, you're going to be on your face before the Lord. But Jesus is going to come up next to you and he's going to pick you up. And he's going to say, because of me, you can stand blameless. Your sin has been washed away and you can have great joy. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what he's going to do for us. And that's why this is so important. That's why we need to contend. That's why we can't be passive. We have to be out there fighting in the ways that we just talked about, right? You know, I feel like I keep coming back to them. We don't, it's not fighting like, I need to tell everybody my opinion. It's no, I need to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. And to him, at the end of verse 25, to him be the glory, to him be the majesty and the dominion and the authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's keep contending for the gospel of Christ, not for ourselves, not for anything other than to give God all the glory that he deserves. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Have you ever found yourself in situations that you just don't understand? In other words, maybe you got newly promoted and you are now responsible to lead a team of people and you just don't understand your role and responsibility in these new direct reports. Maybe God has called you to something beyond what you can even think or imagine and you just don't understand why. Maybe you don't understand how to be a husband or a wife or a father or a mother. Maybe you don't understand even how to be a faithful follower of the person of Jesus Christ. Well, you see, the Bible says this, is that we have a God who is infinite in understanding. He is great and mighty, infinite in understanding, it says. So the next time that you lack understanding, just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and his promises, he will make your pathway straight. This is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire, reminding us all that if we lack understanding, we serve a mighty God who is infinite in understanding.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.